Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, we're going to jump into a new series called Ask. And I think some people thought Ask was people are going to ask questions and we're going to answer them. No, it's actually a series about prayer. You know, Charles Stanley said, if you don't pray and you don't know what prayer is all about, you serve no eternal value. I was just like, whoa. I mean, that was pretty hard, wasn't it? I was like, well, I read that. That was hard. That was in the notes from our 10 days of prayer. I hope you're tracking with 10 days of prayer. I get a lot of people say they're seeing the videos, they're doing it. Throw us a comment. Throw us a bone. I mean, even Stefan on his comment was crying out, comment, tell us you're with us, you know. So it's good to know that you're there. If you don't know how to do it, call the office and Kelly will help you. Praise the Lord. Well, we're talking about prayer. I want to talk, this is very important what we're going to share today. I'm going to try and do this, but you need to understand what I'm going to share today. So right off the outset, as we step into Ask, this is the truth that's very, very important as you step into prayer. All right, so God needs you to pray. God needs you to pray. So you might think that you need to pray, but God needs you to pray. He needs you. God Almighty, who needs nothing. God Almighty, who in himself is, you know, completely well, and there's nothing lacking, nothing missing in God. But God has set up this whole system of his purpose. He set it all up. God has wired everything in a way that he needs you to pray. And prayer, my grandfather always said, prayer is a believer's vital breath. And if you're not praying, you're just not breathing. So we got to know about prayer. And I was on my way to Barbados, on my way on vacation in the airplane. Oh, Jesus, help me, Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Just say, woo. All right, that was good. Say, I'm going to take some of what Pastor Carl's getting right now. I'm going to intercede now, and I'm going to drink some of what's being poured on him. Thank you. Thank you for helping me. Whoo, shuba. Okay, so... I'm on the airplane. That's right. And as I was flying, just really, Lord said, ask me, Carl, ask me. So as you stepped in the new year, ask me, because I am so ready to respond to you asking. Just demand. I mean, get importunate with me. Get in my face. And I'm about to pour ridiculous things on you. So I was like, man, I can't wait for this. So a lot of stuff, look at a lot of stuff, my desk full of notes and thoughts and stuff everywhere. But I want to start with this. All right, 1 John chapter 5, 14 and 15 says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask, say ask. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of him. That same word, asked, all the way through there. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. It's that word ask. It's aiteo. 48 times it's translated ask. Aiteo. It's also beg, call, crave, desire, require. But it's ask. It's to just really put a demand on God. Rick Renner in his book, Sparkling Gems, he said, the Greek word ask destroys the picture that we must pitifully beg and plead for the things we need of from the Lord. You see, the word ask in the Greek is the word ateo. And ateo, a word that means to be adamant in requesting, demanding assistance to meet tangible needs such as food, shelter, water, and so forth. This word is a real get in God's face, and God's not offended when you approach him. He is your father. I mean, I as a father, my kids still today know they can ask me for stuff. I'll find a way to make it happen. I really will. And you know, because our father, our heavenly father, I mean, if we fathers know how to somehow manifest any goodness, how much more does our heavenly father know how to give good things to his kids? Amen? So we got a good father, I'm telling you, and he is a really, really good father. Ateo. So I show you this picture right here. I just got it sent to me yesterday. Isn't that great? Look at that. So I was here yesterday with a group of guys and Kelly. Kelly was here with us too, and we're building that wall on the other side and doing some stuff, and took a break, sat down, had a donut, some coffee, and I was thinking about ask and the whole aspect of asking. And I was like, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would just pour strength into my dear wife, that you would just flood her with incredible ability, that a shoveling anointed would come upon her. Lord, strength from above, strength from heaven. You know, I was going to be here at 9 yesterday to meet the guys. I wanted to get some donuts and stuff, some munchies, and before I got here, and I just opened the garage and clicked the button, backed out, and I just started cruising out the back of the driveway. I wasn't even looking. I didn't rush out or do anything. All of a sudden, I ran into like a 3-foot by 6 snowdrift that lifted my car right off the ground. And I was like, what is that? Then I tried to open my door, and I was so in the drift, my door was a foot under snow too. So I'm like pushing my door open. When I finally got out, I had to shovel all around the car. I had to shovel under the car. I finally got it moving forward enough. I was like, I might have to go wake Cheryl up. She's having a little sleep in there and resting, and I might have to get her to push me out of this, you know? Because she's superhuman. She really is. But, you know, I shoveled it out. I got it forward, and then I shoveled the rest, and I backed out. But I left one big nasty mess behind, and I was like, man, I really hope that Cheryl gets an anointing. And she did. And it was funny because it was only about half an hour after that my phone started going beep, beep, in my pocket, beep, beep. And I went, what is that? And I pulled it open. I showed the guys and said, God hears and answers prayer. I mean, this is so good. I mean, in Jesus' name, Cheryl shoveled the driveway. She is a superstar. And it was a beast. But anyways, how many of you had the shoveling anointing yesterday? How many operating in the flesh and it was kind of rough? Don't do that. I mean, get the anointing. And if it's really, really bad, call Wayne Zimmer. He'll bring his snowblower over. Amen. So, you know, John, in the chapters of John there were, you know, 13 all the way through the 17, very, very important chapters, because these are the teaching of Jesus in that last night, in that last supper where they had supper together and spent time together. These are the teaching of Jesus before he went to the cross. And in those teachings, Jesus talked about a new covenant. And with the new covenant, he said, the old is done, and I'm going to introduce a new covenant. And literally, he says, there's a whole new operational system that I'm going to download. You're going to step out of an old system and into a new system. And during that discussion, during that time of sharing with them, he talked to them about prayer. And he said, you're not going to pray anymore like you did before. Now, a lot of people, new covenant people, still praying old covenant patterns. Let me say it again. And there's preaching old covenant patterns, writing books about old covenant patterns. There's a lot of people doing all kinds of old covenant stuff. And Jesus said, you've never heard this before, and it's never been done until this point. But from this point on, you're going to pray in a different way, with different dominion, different authority, and different power. But we still take old covenant patterns and try to shove them into new covenant molds. And there's a lot of funny little stuff there that's a little bit twisted that puts us into this, you know, trying to achieve and trying to get ourselves. Because back then it was a whole lot of conditional. If you do this, you get that. But see, in the new covenant, it's because he did that, in his name, we get it all. But there's a lot of folks, a lot of books, a lot of stuff, a lot of things happening out there that we're taking old covenant patterns, ifs and buts and candies and nuts, and trying to get new covenant results. And Jesus said, you're not going to do that anymore. I'm going to introduce you a new way, a new covenant, and there's a new covenant way of praying. And so if we're going to ask right off the top, we got to get this right, got to get it right. All right, get it right. All right, John 14, 13 to 14. He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Wowzers. 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 John 16, same discussion, same night, same dinner party. You ready? And in the day, in that day, you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly, most assuredly, most assuredly, get this, I am deadly serious about this. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. This is brand spanking new. You've never stepped into this before, but I'm introducing you a whole new system of how we're going to partner and heaven's going to invade earth. A whole new way of doing it. You've never done it before. You've never heard of this before. You've asked nothing in my name before, but ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Why does God want to answer prayer? To make you happy. Why does God want to answer prayer? So that you can be full of joy. And what is joy? It's your strength. And what is joy? It's the anointing. What is joy? It's the revelation that you got a God who's wonderful, and all your neighbors say, take me to your leader. Amen. Come on. Amen. Thank God for the clapping section. Can everybody thank God for the clapping section? All right, thank you, Jesus. I'm not picking on him. I love it. It's good, good. All right, so Jesus is teaching his disciples about a shift in how the world is governed spiritually. There's a shift in how the world is governed spiritually. They will ask in a whole new realm of power and authority. I'm going to restore to you the open deed. I'm going to restore to you the right to rule and the right to reign. Through redemption in my blood, through my act, through the act of the finished work of the cross, through redemption in my blood, you now have authority to reign, to rule, and to ask and operate in authority. There's a whole shift in how things were done. It's a new covenant kind of prayer. How that whole thing goes down. We aren't going back. We're not going to go back to where Adam was. We're not going back to the garden. We're going somewhere where man has never, ever been before. There was still the potential to fail, the potential to fall behind, the potential to not experience all. But now we are brought into, not because of our effort, but because of the finished work of the cross, because of redemption through his blood, we've been brought into a place that it can never, ever be taken from us. We're taken to a place that we have never, ever been. You're in a new place in me of spiritual authority and power to exercise my purposes in the earth, and we're going to do it in a good, good way. Big, major, major shift. We're not going back there. We're not headed back to the garden. We're taken into a place, a new realm of kingdom privilege that never existed before. And hours before he's arrested, he teaches them a new way of interacting with heaven. That's what's going on here. Very important stuff. When you read the whole Bible, you got to put it all in context. And you can't read stuff out of context. You are in a new covenant relationship with God. Therefore, whatever you read of the old covenant, it was written for you, but not to you. And therefore, you have to take it through the filter of the cross. And if you don't, you can prop up silly systems in religion, and you can end up doing things that aren't for today. And it might seem right, and the law has glory. The law has glory. You can hear the law preached and go, I felt that. And you can feel that because Moses was flooded with glory when he was there in the law in the old covenant. But it's a glory that fades. But we have a glory that can never fade because it's not the blood of goats and bulls and animals. It was the precious blood of God himself that ushered us into a place that can never be diminished and never taken from us. We are ushered into the very kingdom of God with great power, privileges, and authority as the sons and daughters of God. Pause and take a breath. Amen. Book of Acts, they understood this. They knew that. Acts, they knew the power and the authority of the name. Acts chapter 3, Peter goes up to the lame man. He's on the way in that, what was it, the ninth hour he went to pray. You know, the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour, they practiced those times of prayer. And he was on the way to a time of prayer. And on the way to pray, everybody else rushing in at a time of prayer, there's a lame guy who's been there all the time, but this day it was different. This guy, he looks at them, alms, alms. You know, this day, suddenly, Peter and John said, enough. Let's put a demand on the name of Jesus. And they walked over and they said, silver and gold isn't going to be your solution. We don't got none. Don't worry about it. But what I got, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, boom, rise up and walk. And then they said, these guys are awesome. Look at Peter. These guys are amazing. You guys should, you know, start doing crusades and go out and do ministry. You guys are awesome. They said, it is not our piety. It has nothing to do. We have not achieved a status in God where suddenly we got to do that. It has nothing to do with me or my self-righteousness. It has to do with this one thing. I used and operated in the name of Jesus. And because I used the name of Jesus, I loosed the kingdom of God in that guy's life. Real simple. Like they wanted to, well, I want to worship you guys. This is so awesome. But they said, dude, it has nothing to do with it. It's his name and faith in his name that's made this man strong in what you see now. Acts chapter 4:18. So they commanded them. They arrested them. And here's what they commanded them. Stop having conferences and stop having sing songs and stop preaching sermons and stop building churches. No, here's what they said. Stop using the name. Because here's what they'd reduced. The people looking at the Christian community, the people looking at the body of Christ, here's what they had reduced in observation. Here's what they'd reduced their power to. Those people use the name. Those people operate in an authority that's out of this world. Those people operate in a different kingdom. It wasn't what they did. It was their connection with him. It was the revelation of the fact that in the name of Jesus, they could ask for the kingdom to come. And that's what they said. Stop doing that. You can have meetings. You can do whatever you like. Gather whatever. We don't care. Just stop using the name. When's the last time the church got persecuted for using the name? It's that simple. Problem is, we don't understand the authority in the name. We don't understand the rights and the privileges that have been put on us by the name. We pray all kinds of prayers, but we forget that that name is the name above every name. That name is a title that was given to Jesus through conquest. It wasn't something he got just because he was born. It's something he got through conquest that established him as the name above every name. So when you invoke the name of Jesus, it's more than God bless my Cheerios. Although that's wonderful too. But when you use the name, if you do not expect heaven to invade the situation in front of you, you've used his name in vain. Because there's power in the name of Jesus. It's new covenant prayer. It's new covenant, a new covenant model of prayer. Acts chapter 5, verse 40, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus again, and they let them go. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, Philip went and preached the good things concerning the kingdom. Amen, that's wonderful. He went and preached the good things concerning the kingdom. Say and. What is and? It's a conjunction, it functions, it ties things together. So he had, this morning, I'm going to teach you on the kingdom of God, and come back this evening, and I'm going to teach you about the name of Jesus. There were two specific things that he taught. He taught about the kingdom, but then he taught about the effectual and efficient use of the name and what the name was. The name of Jesus. Please settle down. Clappers, please. The name. They taught about the name. They taught about the name and the effectual use of the name of Jesus. Something is about to shift in the cosmos, and it will affect you in a big way. That's what Jesus was saying. He's saying, guys, something is about to shift. You're about to see something the next few days is going to blow your mind, but I want to lay some foundational things in your life right now because this is really important, and the way you pray is going to shift forever. All right, something is shifting and moving. For the first time ever, you'll have dominion that can never be taken from you. Your right to rule, your right to determine what concerns you, your right to call heaven to earth has been established in me, and it will not be taken from you again. You got three excited people. You're never a victim. You are never in a situation where you don't have authority to shift something and make a change. And listen now. Do I always get the absolute results that I want to? Not always, because I'm in a nasty battle here. I'm in a dirty, rotten fight with the devil who continually tries to steal from me. But you know what? I don't give a rip. I'm never going to give up, and I'm going to contend for it no matter what. I don't mind a little bit of mystery in the whole thing. I really don't. If you need every single thing defined and figured out, I'm sorry. Honest to God, I don't know why some stuff happens and some stuff doesn't. But I know that the Bible tells me that at the name of Jesus, every single thing will bow. And what I'm contending for is when that is a full, absolute reality every time I use the name. That's what I'm contending. What are you contending for? Well, I'm not going to do it anymore because I didn't get results last time. That's why we get disappointed. We get frustrated. We get beat up. And the enemy wants to beat you up. And he wants to limit you. And he wants to, you know, raise experiences in your face and say, don't ever believe like that again. You know how disappointed you got. Throw away your disappointment. Shake it off. Never be framed by it. And open up your faith for the unseen to call it in no matter what. Because I know, boy, I don't know about you, but we had some difficulties. We've had some stuff go the way we didn't want it to go. I've stood by some bedsides and seen people in Jesus' name pass away. Well, I'm not doing that again. I don't understand all that, but what I do know is that his word stands forever. And I don't know what's happening right now. I can't see everything that's going on behind the scene, but I will not stop. I will not back up. I will not give up. I'm going to continue to fight for the absolute 100% of the time manifestation of his goodness. Amen. And if you're too timid for that, don't worry about it. It's okay. Just enjoy the ride. Amen. All right. So let me see what I got here. Da 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 da. Boom, boom. I got duplication of things in my notes here. Okay, so let's go down to, let me show you this. Give me that. Here it is. Let me show you the spiritual principle in the Old Testament. All right, let me show it to you in the Old Testament, show you how it applies in your current life with authority and stuff, and I'm going to do it in 7 minutes. Brian's laughing at me. All right, let me show you this whole thing, all right, how it happens. Go to the book of Jeremiah. I want you to go to the book of Jeremiah and look at it. The notes are on the websites. You can go to them, read them later, listen again later, because faith comes by hearing and hearing, not hearing once, but hearing and hearing. So you might have to listen again. All right, here's Jeremiah. All right, Jeremiah 31, 38, 40. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. The city shall be built for the Lord from the tower of Hananel to the corner gate. The survivor's line shall extend straight forward over the hill of Gareb. Then it shall turn to the toward Goath, and then the whole valley of dead bodies and ashes and all the fields by the brook of Kid drawn, it'll go all the way to the corner of the horse gate towards the east, and it shall all be called holy to the Lord. It shall not be plucked up or thrown down anymore forever, says the Lord. Now that's Jeremiah prophesying. Now Jeremiah, where is he? The king is fed up with Jeremiah, because every time he would go to Jeremiah, what's going to happen for us? Are things going to go well? He goes, no, it's all bad. It's going to be terrible. You're all going into captivity. It's really ugly. He was a weeping prophet because he was so broken by, you know, the future of God's people. His word just messed him up. It cut him up. But here he is. The king got so fed up listening to his prophecies that he dug a hole in the court and he dropped him and he put him in a hole and put a cell door over the top. What do you call that? Bars and stuff. But he's in a hole in the ground, locked in this hole. And from this hole, he prophesied this. From this hole in the ground, he said, we have a preferred future. He said, even, and this was when the whole enemy, all their armies were already around them. They're starving. I mean, people are eating their own children. Crazy stuff going on. And while all of this is going on, he's prophesying, God's going to visit us. It's going to be awesome. Right then you want to say, shut up. But he's prophesying all this good stuff. God's going to come. And the restoration that he prophesied did not happen until this century. It wasn't until in your day that the boundaries of Jerusalem met what it is when what he prophesied didn't happen until today. In our day, those boundaries have been realized. But here he is prophesying something powerful about the future. And so that's happened only now in our day. Now go to Jeremiah 32. Jeremiah 32. Verse 6, it says, and Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hananiel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours. Say, right of redemption. Say, right of redemption. The right of redemption is yours. So the uncle's coming, going, hey, Jeremiah, how you doing down there? Good. You know what? I'd like to sell you some land. I mean, we're under siege. We're under total siege, and I redeemed some land for you, and I gave you, or I took some land and used it and gave you folks some money, and I used it for a while, but I want you to redeem it now. I want you to purchase it back. And he's in a cell, and I mean, the enemy is surrounded the city. Who's going to buy land at a time like that? But here's what the Lord is saying to him. Put your money where your mouth is. If you think there's going to be restoration, then in the middle of your misery, buy some property. In the middle of your misery, do some crazy prophetic act. In the middle of, I got no money and I'm broke, send an offering to somebody. In the middle of you being ministering sad and your life sucks, go over to somebody else and encourage them and tell them everything's going to be okay. My life sucks, but hey, everything's going to be awesome for you. Put your money where your mouth is. If God's really good, prove it. Am I shouting? So here it is. He says, buy the field. It's your right of redemption. It's yours to buy it. And Hananiah, the uncle, came, and sure enough, that all happened. For the right of inheritance is yours, and redemption is yours. So let me say that one. For the right of inheritance is yours, and of redemption is yours. Two rights. Right of inheritance, right of redemption. What's the right of inheritance? If you give your property to one of your relatives for them to use because you need the money, on the year of Jubilee, in 7 years, they have to give it back. So that's inheritance. I'm going to get everything back with inheritance. And on the year of Jubilee, everything gets restored in the year of Jubilee because we're all guaranteed the right of inheritance. But he said the right of redemption is yours. So anywhere before the time of Jubilee, you can purchase back through redemption. You can redeem the land and bring it back to yourself. So there's right of redemption and there's right of inheritance. So he's saying, let's not wait for inheritance. Give me the money now. Crazy stuff. So why are you reading this, Pastor? Hang on. So he gets that, and he does that, and then look what it says. It says, verse 10, he says, I signed the deed and sealed it and took witnesses and weighed out the money on the scale. So I took the purchase deed, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom and that which was open. Say sealed. Say open. So there's not just two rights. There's two. It's in our notes. But one is sealed. There's a sealed document and an open document. There's one that's sealed for forever and ever. It's yours for inheritance. And there's the other one that you can open, you can write on it, and you can assign it to people. So there's two deeds. Sorry, deeds. Say two deeds. Say two rights. All right, good, good. Are you tracking with me? Did I tell you how important this is? Okay, good. All right. So he said, let's go down to verse 14. Thus says the Lord of hosts, take the deeds, both of these, purchase deed and sealed, and this deed which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel that they may last many days. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards shall be possessed again in this land. Jeremiah prayed this, he declared, he prophesied. Verse 16. Now, when he delivered the purchase deed to Baruch, the son of Neriah, I prayed and I said, saying, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and your outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. That's where we got that song. Where, oh, Lord God, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power. Oh, Lord. How many remember that song? You're really old. Okay. So, that's where we get that song from, you know? Because here Jeremiah realized that I'm redeeming this land and I'm sealing it forever. And I'm doing this because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Even though I am in a pit right now, and even though we're surrounded by enemies and ready to be taken into captivity, I am redeeming land because what I prophesied will surely come to pass. I tell you, you gotta activate when you believe something. You gotta prophesy over yourself, declare stuff over your future, and be big and bold. Jeremiah 32. And you have said to me, O Lord God, buy the field and take witnesses, yet the city has been given into the hands of Chaldeans. So what Jeremiah is saying, okay, God, I did all that, but what was I doing that for? It doesn't seem like a wise thing to do. So why was I doing that? Jeremiah 32, 26 says, Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. There's nothing that is too hard for me. So God is telling Jeremiah that the Chaldeans may have the land right now, but we're going to redeem it. It's going to be restored. And that is not going to be through inheritance, but through redemption. Now, that's a big deal. So Jeremiah, he said, I want to show you that, and I want you to be engaged in it with a prophetic act. So this new system that is by God being established has new spiritual implications. His uncle went through that whole thing, but we got to stick with the two things, the rights and the deeds. So let's look at that, the two rights. Two rights and two deeds. The right of redemption, the right of inheritance, the sealed deed, and the open deed. And you might say, what is all of this got to do with me? Lots of stuff. See, because God wants to point this out to you. He wants to make it clear to you in Scripture what you have the right to do right now. All right, so you have the right of redemption. I can buy it back at any time before Jubilee. The right of inheritance, it will come back to me at Jubilee. Deeds, it's been given to me and my family forever. It belongs to me. God gave land, and nobody could take the land that God gave you. You remember with Ahab wanted the Naboth's vineyard? You can't have it because God gave it to me. You cannot take from someone what God gave them. Listen to me. No one can take from you what God gave you. No one. God has given it to you. It is yours. It is your inheritance, and nothing and no one. It is illegal for anyone to steal it from you. It is yours by inheritance. And that's absolutely true and absolutely real. All right? So there's two deeds now. There's a sealed deed that's been given to your family forever, and that's something that is always yours. But then there's an open deed. Now, the open deed, and that was, everybody had an open deed because, again, if you got in a bad place and you broke your leg and you couldn't work your field, you could give your field to your uncle, and then he could work the field, and you could kind of rent it to him or sell it to him for a while, and that's the open deed. So you could take the open deed and you could say, for the period until Jubilee or until the 7 years, I deed the use of the land to my uncle. Now, what's that got to do with me, Pastor? That's what Adam did. God is God over everything, eternal, cosmically, forever. But he created the earth, and the earth he gave to man. And you see, man took the open deed that he had, and he gave it to the devil at the fall. And the devil had the open deed. And in the old covenant, all through the old covenant, God was moving towards the cross, because at the cross, he was going to write once and for all on that open deed. And what is ours by inheritance and can never ever be taken from us, and somewhere in the eternal forevers, God will restore all things. God said, I'm not going to wait until you get it by inheritance. I'm going to get it back right now through redemption. So we could have waited for however long, and God, eternal God, could have had his way. But God stepped into the middle of it, and he sent another man, another Adam, the second Adam. The first Adam, he opened the deed, and he gave it off to the devil. Well, how do you know he gave it off to the devil? Because in Luke chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, they can pull it up right there. It says, and the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you. The devil could not give it if he didn't have it. How did he get it? It was given to him. Who gave it to him? Adam. So Adam gave that away, and the devil said to Jesus, the new Adam, the second Adam, he said, oh, another one. Okay, let's try this. Tell you what, I'm going to give you. It would not be a temptation if it wasn't his to give. It would not be legitimate if the devil didn't have possession of it. The devil did not have the deed of inheritance, but he had the open deed, not the sealed deed. So he had the open deed, and he said, I will give it to you, and their glory I will give to you, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship me, I'll give it to you. Which is literally what Jesus was sent to do. But Jesus is not going to get it in some crazy concocted scheme of the devil. It was legitimate because this is actually why I was sent. I was sent to get the open deed, to rewrite on it. But the devil said, look what you're sent to do. I'll give it to you. And Jesus said, I don't move by any other thing except I operate only by my Father. And Jesus wasn't going to take in his own hands or out of the Father's hands what God had sent him to do. Okay, so you got to understand all that. I hope you're tracking and you're okay. All right, let's go all the way to Revelation 5, 9, and 10. And they sang a new song saying that are worthy to take the scroll. You are worthy and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed. Say redeemed. And redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and out of every people and every nation. And you've made us to be kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on clouds with harps forever. You made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. And we shall reign on earth. Jesus had the right of inheritance, but he exercised the right of redemption. God Almighty had the right of inheritance. It was all his. It could never really be taken from him. But man gave up that open deed. So God became as a man so that he could get back as a man that open deed. And what Jesus did and what he was saying at that meal was that I have taken back from the devil the deed. I am going to have the open deed. I am going to get it back, and I'm going to restore it to its rightful place. So now you will have that authority established, and all you've got to do is operate in the name of Jesus. And when you use in the name of Jesus, you are writing what you desire to write. You are speaking and prophesying what you desire to speak on the open deed of your life. And you're taking responsibility and authority for God's purpose in your life, and you're asking and partnering with him in the name of Jesus to bring his kingdom, his dominion, and his power into every aspect of your life. And it's been restored to you, not by an eternal purpose, but it's restored to you by redemption through the precious blood of Jesus. And that's why when you pray, understanding how you pray and what you pray, you got to understand that your rights are because of the finished work of the cross. And when you ask, we always ask in the name of Jesus, and we never attach to it our effort. We never attach to it something that we did. You know, ifs and buts, and you might get this. In the kingdom, as Jesus did this, therefore you get this. So if you approach him out of the wrong covenant, if you approach him wearing the wrong garments, you might get thrown out of the party. When you approach him, we come to the Father by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is the new and living way. He gives us access to our Father, who is a good, good Father. And we come through the precious, wonderful blood, the blood of his redemption that got us back the deed, the open deed. And now we are rightful rulers and reigners over our lives, over the affairs of earth. And together, corporately, we can change the city of London. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. And God is for you, and we got to make a big deal about the name of Jesus and a big deal about who we are in him. So we're going to ask, but please ask from a new covenant context. Please ask, not from some Old Testament paradigm of begging and pleading, because that's not what it is. That asking is not begging God to do something. It literally is, and he's not offended by it. It's demanding God to release what is rightfully yours as a child of God. Yours by inheritance and yours by redemption. Every bit of it can come into manifestation now if you ask. Come on, stand up with me. Ask. Listen, can you just bow your heads for a minute? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Just everybody praying, okay? Everybody praying. Let it be a massive year of harvest. Let it be an incredible year of breakthrough. Let it be a year where redemption takes place in hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of lives. So all heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just listen now. If you're here today and you don't really have that relationship with the Father, I want to understand what this is to be a child of God. I want to walk in the reality of what that is, but I'm not sure I am. But I want to, and I want Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I want that living relationship with God. If that's you and you're not sure that you have it, you've maybe never done it, but you want to right now. If that's you, I want to pray for you. But we're going to do this. I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I'm just going to want you to put your hand up. And by doing that, you're going to signify, hey, I want in. I want to have that relationship with God the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. I want it. And I'm going to pray with you. So it's very simple. And I'm just going to count to three. And I'm asking you to do that. That's the Spirit of God touching you right now. It's him. He's drawing you to himself. You're here today not by some weird decision, but you're here today because God himself is nuts about you, loves you, and he's drawing you. And so I'm going to ask you, I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to ask you three to put up your hand because we want to pray for you, okay? You ready? And we're going to pray corporately. We're all going to pray together, but I just want you to put up your hand. There's no one looking around. It's just you. It's just you and Jesus, and he loves you. You ready? One, two, three. Just raise your hand up really high. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you. All right, we're all going to pray, so you don't have to be shy. You can lift up your voice because everybody's praying, and we're all going to pray with you. All right, you ready? Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for saving me. I thank you that through the finished work of the cross, I am forgiven, I am healed, and I am free. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Testify with my spirit that I am a child of God. Thank you for being my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, that was really good, huh? That was really good. Father, we bless those folks who put their hands up. We pray that something new's happened. They're new creatures in you. Something new happened right there. They've been born from above, and they are every bit a child of God. And I thank you for that right now. Father, we thank you for salvations. And Lord, I ask you in the name of Jesus right now, as just pastor over this house, we ask you together corporately, we ask you for souls. We ask you for more souls in Jesus' name. And we know that's your will. And because we know that's your will, we know that you hear us. And if you hear us, we know we have what we've asked for. So, Father, we ask for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. We ask you to fill this place with people that we can disciple and bring into the knowledge of your goodness. Make it be a year of ridiculous harvest. And we will promise that you get all the praise and the glory and the honor. We thank you for it. Thank you, Father, for the great revelation today that we are one with you. Thank you for the great revelation today that I'm only as one with you as I'm willing to be one with my brothers and sisters. And I thank you that because I'm one with you, that oneness is easy. And I thank you for the love that you've poured in our hearts, not just for yourself, but for one another. And may this community thrive in that love, because they'll know that we're disciples because we have that genuine, authentic love for each other. So I pray it would be a year crowned with love, crowned with union, crowned with oneness for your honor and for your glory. I'm going to ask all those that are on ministry team today to pray and to minister at the altar, if you would come now. And these people are here, they're ready, they've actually, you know, taken courses and done stuff and, you know, prepared themselves to pray for you and help you and minister to you. So these folks are ready to pray for you. So if you need prayer for anything, please, you know, these guys are good folks. They pray for me all the time and look how awesome I am. But they're ready to pray for you and minister to you. So I want to bless you. Can I do that? So the altars are open, but I want to bless you in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, for your great love for us. And I pray the revelation of it would wrap each and every one. I thank you, Jesus, for the great grace and favor that you've bestowed upon us. And Holy Spirit, I thank you for your divine partnership and your communion. I thank you that you're with us now and always. So I commend this house. I bless each and every one right now in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.